Okay, now we are on Facebook world. Good afternoon, Facebook world. Good afternoon, Zoom world. Hey, Michael, how are you? I love it. Family. We're all family. Well, this afternoon, I am excited to be kicking off in just about 7 minutes. We are going to have a fun afternoon. I'm really jazzed about our topic today. We're going to talk about organizing your homeschool for ultimate productivity. We will kick off in just a few minutes as we're going to let everybody get into the room. We are at Zoom if you want to join us live in our community room, which is cindyrushton.com/Zoom. And I am thrilled. I've actually got a full day. I've already been on a interview this morning for a podcast that I'm excited about. And this evening, we're going to be on live again. I'm going to be joining a community. I've put everything on my Facebook, so you guys are welcome to join me tonight as well. We're going to talk about how to have like that semblance of peace in the middle of the crazy chaos that so many of you are facing in your homes and homeschool. So today's kind of a homeschool day where we're talking homeschooling. If you are not familiar with my Ultimate Productivity Challenge, right now this month we are hosting a challenge that is really a little bit of something for everybody. Today we have our focus on home and homeschooling, parenting. So many of you have your little ones at home and you're wondering, what on earth do I do? Well, I can tell you. This session today, I think, will come alongside of you and help you to organize for ultimate productivity. Regardless if you're in this for the long haul with homeschooling or whether you have been crisis homeschooling. So I think you'll love it. Tomorrow, we are excited at 3 p.m. We will be welcoming my dear friend, Lucia Claiborne, who will be here with us teaching on God is drawn to movement. So for those of you who would love to be moving, maybe you've been stuck for just too long, I think tomorrow's session is going to be a session that you will not want to miss. First of all, Lucia is my friend that keeps me moving. She keeps me I'm talking about on the cutting edge. She's one of those friends that has been through my stuff with me, and we do a lot of amazing things together. So I can't wait to get a fresh word from her. Thursday night, I will be doing a session for our Ultimate Productivity Challenge, which is just for those of you who are interested in business or ministry, growing your business and ministry, being productive in your business and ministry. If you got a church and you're wanting to know how to grow your church, Thursday night's your night. So come on, join us Thursday night at 7 p.m. It will be here in my Zoom room at cindyrushton.com/Zoom. You may be wondering, what on earth is an ultimate productivity challenge? Well, we host challenges through my ministry 4 times a year. This is, believe it or not, our second challenge of 2020. We are already like in our third week of this. Can you guys believe that? I mean, that excites me, and it also makes me go, wow, our time is so precious. And so everything that we do really matters. And so the reason for Ultimate Productivity Challenge is because, okay, one of my personal secrets to productivity is I don't let up. I don't let up. Somebody needed that today, and it's your free information. It's why you hear me right this moment. But I don't let up. I don't say, oh, wow, I've accomplished something, and I let things go get into a slow mode. No, I'm always moving. Always doing the next thing. Sometimes I'm doing the next thing while I'm doing the thing. Like right now, I'm doing the next things while I'm doing the thing. And I can tell you that is why I have produced the things I've produced in the past and why I'm happening to do the same thing now. You guys, we're doing the thing. And I want you to do the thing with us. So if you are needing someone to come alongside of you and help you simplify things to where you can be the most productive, this is your challenge. If you are needing a community that can come alongside of you and maybe offer you that cheering, that I call it iron sharpening iron. You need that. Hey, we're the community for you. And so I really want to invite you to come and be a part of what we're doing, because this is not just Cindy. This is everyone in our community taking massive action together. And so if you want to reach those dreams, those resolutions, this is your year. This is it. This is it. Tomorrow we're going to talk Thursday night, we're going to talk, as a matter of fact, along these lines. So you got the dream. How are you going to make that become your reality? So I believe that's going to be the topic. I just hate to say it 2 days out, because God keeps changing my topics on me. So that's when I know we've got a fresh word, is when he takes my plans and I can sit there and I can spend the time with him, and it's so, so good. Then if he totally turns it upside down, I want that. And I think you guys do too, don't you? You want to know that he is the one speaking, not Cindy. So I just want to welcome you guys. I want you to know that this is your space where you are so valuable and you are a part of what we're doing. I want to go with you through this journey, not just this year or today. I want to do this for the long haul. And speaking of that, you know, I love homeschoolers. I love that we, by popular request, had some families that were saying, hey, I'm needing some really, what am I doing here? There we go. We got that. My technology's going crazy today. It's hopping. So anyway, we, by popular request, had homeschool families that were saying, hey, Cindy, you surely haven't forgot us. No, I have not forgot you guys. For those of you who did not know me prior to now, you may not know that I homeschooled my kids and wrote a large majority of the books I've written. I've written now, this is 154 that comes out this week. The large majority have been for homeschooling families up until the last, I'd say, 10 years. And then things started getting bigger, back to where I kind of thought things were going. But still, I haven't forgot you guys. I'm not leaving you guys. I'm like a grandmother in this thing. You don't forget one of your first loves. And there's something about, at this season, having so many people who have been a part of my life through the years, but also some of you are now, like, you remember your mother homeschooling, using some of the ideas and coming into some of the different events and things that I've taught. And I just love that this is a season where you can come back full, you can come back to some of the things that you were taught growing up. So I'm not leaving you guys. I'm actually, more than ever, I've got several events planned. In fact, I was just on an interview a few minutes ago where they asked, what my schedule looks like. Well, actually, I do have several homeschooling events and several church events. I do all of that. I speak to businesses and corporations. So there's a lot of things that are coming out. You'll see things on my calendar as I put it out there. But yeah, I'm available and I haven't forgot you guys. So if I had something to share with you, what would it be? Well, today is one of those times. I want to share with you how to get yourself organized for ultimate productivity, because it makes a difference in how your days go. You know, I'm not saying, and I said last week, I want to know what you see as your perfect day. The reason I asked you for that is plain and simply because you have to have a vision of where you're going, or you are not going to have a place you press toward to get there. What is it that you say, this feels like the way I want my homeschool to run? This is the life I want to live. You've got to ask yourself those questions. You've got to get the vision, or otherwise you're going to be running all over the place. You're going to be pursuing this curriculum this year. You're going to be pursuing that curriculum next year. They're going to be polar opposites. You're going to be pursuing this activity, and that activity totally is not even working toward any plan. And then you get tired of that, and then you go pursuing this activity because it's the hot thing that everybody's doing. Are you getting me? I've seen this. This is not something new. This is not something that just you guys are, you have no idea, Cindy. It's been how long since you homeschooled? You don't even know what it's like. Well, hello. Yes, I do. First of all, I live in the house with my kids, and I'm seeing my grandchildren get homeschooled. I just walked through the house, and little Whitney was reading with Josh, and Oliver was in a Rubbermaid, pretending like he was a box and not a kid, trying to sneak up on me and scare me. I totally get this stuff. I totally see it because I'm seeing it right now and in my life. But here's the deal. Nothing's new. You guys, we all have the things that vibe, because I'm going to tell you, regardless if your life, you feel called to marriage, or you feel called, and you should be called to some of these things, but marriage, mothering, homeschooling, homemaking, home business, ministry, whatever your call is, if it's truly your calling, I want to tell you, the enemy hates you, and he is going to come against you, and it's going to be the little things that spoil it all. The organization not getting done, I'm telling you, if we don't do the planning, we don't do the sitting before the Lord saying, God, give me a vision what this looks like this year. And it's got to be fresh. It's got to be something he gives you. It's not something he's going to give me. But the principle's the same. We've got to sit and ask him, what does this life look like today? Because when we do, he's so faithful to just impart the vision into our lives in such a way that I promise you, you're going to find things being easier, lighter. You're going to find yourself in that space where, okay, you can say no, because you'll know your yes. And I said it through the years when I was homeschooling my kids that you know, I knew that they were our number one priority for us. They were our greatest work. Our children, their education, their training was one of the greatest things we did together as a couple. Sure, we've had lots of businesses, and those are priorities, but not before what we did within the walls of our own home. That's the stuff that hasn't been able to be taken away. Can I just tell you that? I remember when I first got married, I was given this cross-stitch picture that still is so special to me. And it says on the picture, it says, the greatest work you'll ever do will be within the walls of your own home. There can never be anything more true. There could never be anything more vast, more deep, more philosophical than that one quote. The greatest work I've ever done has been there. That's the stuff that never has been taken away from me. Now, also, God blessed me to bring so much into my, he blessed me to bring so much into my life by bringing in ministry that we did as a family. Do you hear me? We did it as a family. We did business as a family. We did life as a family. We did learning as a family. It was a whole picture of a life. I'm so thankful for that. That God gave me that vision, gave me that passion, that conviction, because nothing can take that away. Nothing can take that away. Nothing. It is the thing that if I would look back, and I have plenty of regrets in my life, but I can tell you those are not my regrets ever, ever, ever. Those are the moments that truly I am so grateful that I got the blessing of getting to be the one to teach my children both how to read. I get the blessing, some days I didn't think it was such, but I got the blessing of teaching my children how to write, how to do math, how to do a research. The research papers, bless our hearts. I got to be the one who got to be there as they grew, as they learned, as they would come in and they would get so excited about something that they found and they learned. I got to be the one they got to spill it on. And you guys, nothing can take that away. Those are sweet memories. Those are the main thing. You could give me all the riches in the world and nothing's more precious, more priceless, more, those are the treasures that are in my heart that I can never, ever compare anything else to it. They're it. They're the why I did these things through the years. I am so grateful for the blessing of getting to be there for those moments. It's so much more than just another method of education. People who have heard me talk about homeschooling, you've heard me say that. But can I tell you that homeschooling is so much more than just books and classes and scope and sequences. You'll hear me say that till the day I die. It's so much more. It's that privilege of being in the fullness of my calling as a mother. And it doesn't stop when they get a diploma and they go into college, or they get finished with school and they go into their careers or their professions, their callings. That is not the day it's over. It's not over till the day we die. And then it's really not over, because all the things we leave behind, they carry with them forever and ever. It's part of the thing we pass on that we can't take back. We can't get away from it. That's why what we do matters. And we've got to make sure that in these days that we are sticking to what really and truly matters. Really. You don't get these days back. You don't get them back. And it may seem like some of these days are very long. I'm sure some of these days are very long for you guys right now. I've heard homeschool moms that have said, oh, it ain't normal right now. I'm just telling you, it is not normal right now. I can't get out of the house. I can't take these kids to the park. We have a funny story. I remember Matt telling me one day, he said, Mom, I just don't understand. I don't understand how you took me to those playgrounds. They are so nasty. They have so many germs. And of course, now Matt happens to have the background of knowing how particular I was about my children, being a keeper of my home, being protective. But here's what I told him. I said, Matt, it was either the playgrounds or I would have took you out. That's how it is. Now you guys are going, oh, cannot believe she just said that. I'm joking, okay? Get real. Not like you can go report me to anybody right now. I'm telling you, it is truly, truly a ha-ha joke. He knew what I meant. That was my sanity, was getting out and going and taking the kids. And I can't even tell you. I remember one day in particular, taking them to a playground. I was tired and weary. I was wore out. I had heard them grumble. I was like, we're going to get outside and y'all are going to breathe some fresh air. I'm going to wear you out letting you play. And then we'll go back home and everything will be calm. You know what I mean? And we're there at the playground and I watched Matt with his little baby sister. And it was the sweetest thing. It was just a priceless moment. Just watching him help her get up and down these big slides. Watching him cheer her on, watching her like in totally enthralled with how awesome her big brother was and wanting so bad to be able to keep up with every step he took. And it's never changed. Never changed. They're best friends. This morning I was texting with them and I just love Elizabeth that she and Matt keep me, like yesterday we text forever. Today we text this morning. You guys, I'm thankful that my children choose for me to be in their little text threads. I'm thankful that I get to watch how she so admires her brother. She sent letters when she was in boot camp. And there's something about military letters. I advocate every parent encourage your kids to go into the military because it's so amazing. But here's the thing. I remember each of them, when they would write their letters from boot camp, that was when you kind of got to hear that stuff that they talk about in Proverbs 31 about eventually they're going to rise up and call you blessed. They're going to be thankful for what you did. And what I love the most is she told us in one of the letters, she said how much it meant. She just wished she could hear our voices, but that she could somehow hear my voice and Matt's voice as she would go on her runs. She felt like that was something she couldn't get away from. She knew we were there in our hearts cheering her on. She knew she could hear that voice because she'd heard it all through these years. You know, when I first began homeschooling, it was kind of funny how God did things because it was just a total miracle from him. But I remember coming across the writings of a woman called Charlotte Mason. And Charlotte Mason was an educator now almost 200 years ago. But the woman was literally on the cutting edge forever. She had things that were so evergreen that she did in education that today we still apply her theories and her ideas. Even though there's been many, many theories that have come and gone, her things just have worked. They've got the good old paths. They capture things from long ago. They capture things that were cutting edge 200 years ago. They capture things that have been left behind because actually different philosophies of education, we'll talk about that another day, that there's different reasons for people having education. And her educational reasons were pure and they were spot on. One of the things she said was she had several key things. She said education is a science of relations is the one I want to unpack for a second. But when she said education was a science of relations, it got to where I'm going to be coming back and talking about this in a minute. But it was that relationship with God. It was that relationship with the parents. It was the relationship with siblings. It was the relationship with ideas. It was the relationship with great men and women that were here today and that had gone on before and the ones that were coming on the scenes. It was giving children the connection to have relationship, because relationship is where education truly happens. We know that, or do we? Because, you know, sometimes I think we get so busy doing so many things and we don't question the validity of those things. We don't question whether those things are the eternal. We don't question whether that's the junk that's going to distract us. We don't question whether that's the stuff that is going to keep us from the thing that really matters to us. And in turn, I've done it, and many I know have done it. We have that tendency to just stray, don't we? To get off on some rabbit trail, to go chasing some shiny object and get away from the things that really matter. So what do we do? How do we organize our homeschool, our home and our homeschool, so that it is the most productive, ultimate productivity? Well, first thing I recommend is taking some time to retreat. Yeah. If you've ever heard me speak, you know I talk about retreating. This was before I had two soldiers in the army. But here's what I learned is that soldiers retreat, not just when they're licking their wounds, but soldiers retreat for primarily three reasons. Now, there are many others, I'm sure. But for one, it's to rest. Even in the middle of victory, this is not talking about retreating because they are being defeated. No, we're talking about even in the midst of victory, why do soldiers retreat? For rest. The reality is you are a mighty warrior. You are a good soldier. That's the meaning of a virtuous woman if we look at Proverbs 31. That is, the Bible talks and calls us forward as mighty warriors, male and female. The vision I get whenever I think of that is that person that's wielding a sword. They've got the big long sword and they've even got the short knife. The big long sword is reaching outward. The short knife is, that's for hand-to-hand, up close thing, the combat. But there are times where even if we are in the middle of combat, we're in the middle of fighting the fight, there is wisdom and pulling back and getting some rest. Now, when I'm talking about rest, I'm not talking about just any rest. I'm talking about the rest that will give you direction. Here's what it says in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It says, "Come to me, all you who labor and you're heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest." I love this. I love this. Love this. It says, "I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls." That's your mind, your will, and your emotions. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, hold on just a minute. I just want to unpack this for half a second. When he's talking about his yoke, he is saying that he wants you to yoke up with him, similar to how we see cattle, bulls are yoked up for the work at hand. He is going to help you carry the load. And he says, but to learn of him. And here's what he says, for I am gentle, meek, humble, lowly in heart, and you'll find rest, relief and ease and refreshment, recreation and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, it's useful, it's good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. My burden is light and easy to be borne. And that comes from the Amplified Bible. I'm going to read it also from the Passion Bible. This is my favorite version right now. It says, are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Come on. When I think of this, I think of that, like vacation time. I think of whenever I can pull aside and find a place where I can just be refreshed and renewed. That's what he says. He says, I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me. For all I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. Come on. Anybody want some of that? That's what Jesus says. That's his word to you. You know, so many of us, we think that he's out to zap us. No, he's out to bring us that rest, to bring us to that place where we can relax. We can just throw our cares upon him. He will carry it and he'll sort it out. And that brings us to the second reason to retreat. He will give us a strategy. He'll show us the how-to. He will tell us exactly what is needed. He says here to learn of him. That's what we're talking about. Learning of him, how he did it. You may say, but Cindy, did he homeschool? He didn't even have children. Come on. I think there's nothing greater than the way he taught us how to disciple, because he did disciple. He did teach. That's his whole life. All along the way, he was teaching. He had disciples that he literally discipled in such a way that whenever he was ascended back into heaven, they were able to go and literally turn the world upside down because they had been taught so well. He modeled, he did things before them, then he took them alone and taught along the way and taught them how he did things. And then he watched them and was there with them as they practiced what he taught them how to do. And then he sent them out, but he was still there with them. And then later, what does he do as he's ascending? He says, I want you to go and you now make disciples. Come on. That's powerful. That is real leadership. And how did he do that? He gave them strategy for how to do the things that really mattered. In fact, we learned that. This summer, I'm planning to teach a Bible study on the Sermon on the Mount. I am thrilled. I cannot wait. You guys, that may be like a forever study. But can I tell you something? Right there in the Sermon on the Mount, he gave the very essence of what we need to be teaching our children all along the way. Right there. Not counting that you see it all through Scripture. I believe that this book is the book that is your best teacher's manual. It is the one that if you'll invest your time and your energy, you'll get the strategies that you so look for. It is the best homeschool book. So we rest, we strategize, and what else? We resupply for the battle. Resupply for the battle. Can I tell you that this is not something that you're going to be able to do in and of your own self? One of the reasons I've stepped back into speaking for homeschoolers is because I realize how many of you are wore out. You've been doing such a great job, but you know what? Some of this is wearing you out because some of this is not the way that I believe, and I'm not ditzing on how you do your methods. Just hear me right. What I'm saying is some of this has wore you out because Jesus is wanting to come alongside of you, and he's wanting to help carry the burden for you. And you moved and shifted away from understanding that, you know what, you're going to work yourself to death and it may not have the fruit that you really want. Some of you are battling your kids. Some of that fruit is really not good because your kids are like hating it and you hate it. Come on, come on. There is a different way to do this. Some of you are grappling because it's not making sense. You're doing everything that the curriculum says to do, but it's just not making sense. My sweet friends, I'm telling you that this right here, there is a way that I call it the easy way. God is so good. But if you want to stick with it for the long haul, you're going to have to learn from him. You're going to have to come away and link up and co-labor with him. As a matter of fact, I said all along, I even said it earlier this morning in an interview, that homeschooling, the greatest thing I learned was that I was really called to be a cheerleader for my kids. It was interesting because that's just something that I could do. I could believe in them. I still believe in them. I am their number one cheerleader. But it's not a surprise. That's who I am. That's my spiritual gifts. God plans to use those inside our homes and our families. Don't get so distracted by all the things to do that you miss the very thing you're called to do, which is in part who you are. It's called to be who you are. Right there with your children. That's what they really want. That's what, you know what? At the end of the day, that's what they're going to take. The things they're going to remember, the things they're going to get counseling on when they're old are not going to be from the scope and sequence so much. They could be, because that scope and sequence, if it's driving you crazy, wearing you out and causing you to be on the edge, or you're screaming, you're mad, they're fighting, you're fighting and you're fussing and you're not doing good in your home. Yeah. That fruit is not the fruit that Jesus is talking about here. He wants for us to come to him and learn from him. He's so faithful. He's so faithful. And what I believe some of you need as a vision is his way of doing things. It's very, very different. It is more fun for you and your children. Come on. So, first thing is to retreat, to rest, to strategize, and to resupply for the battle. The next thing I want to ask you something that's very personal. In fact, this is going to be a part that is inside our Ultimate Productivity Action Guide for this week that is specifically for those of you who are homeschooling, although anybody else can use it for whatever they're doing as well. But I want to ask you for just a few moments just to think, and I want you to write down the first thing that comes out of your mind, not overthinking it, okay? I'm going to ask you some questions. I want the first thing that comes out of your mind. Ready? What are your goals for this year as far as spiritual goals? Like, what do you want for your children this year as a spiritual goal? What would you like? I'm trying not to move too quick. But what would you like as a goal for their academic? Like, what is it that they need the most this year, right now? Okay, you can't tell me y'all don't know this one quick, because some of you have been locked in that house with these children for now a month and a half. You can't tell me you don't know what they need the most, spiritually and academically. What are your biggest goals? What about financial goals? Yeah, and your homeschool. What about your physical goals? Physical goals. What is needed the most with your fitness, your health? What is the most needed for your children? Are y'all getting answers? Personally, I believe that this is key. You have this. You don't have to have a book or a guide to tell you which way to go with this. You yourself can hear God and he'll show you what is the next thing in these areas. For example, let me go back and let's unpack it a little deeper. And again, this is going to be in your guide, but I want some first thoughts right here. I don't want your reflection thoughts, okay? I'm not wanting my answers. So in other words, I am even here going through this pretty fast because I want first thoughts. Okay, are y'all with me on it? What is the plan for daily Bible reading? How much do you want to do each day or during this month? Let's break it down to there. What does that look like in your home? How can you encourage the Word? Getting into the Word. And by the way, if that's not the number one textbook, I want to ask you today to recommit to that. Because when the literacy rates were the highest in this country, when education really made sense and the kids were learning and they were great orators, they were great writers, this was the textbook. This was the textbook. So let me ask you, is this your number one textbook that if nothing else gets done each day, this is the thing? Because this is a time to truly, truly make a commitment back to the Word. It's, to me, your best reading. It's the best reader. I joke, and this is like one day, you have to know on my bucket list, one of the things that's on my bucket list is to go to comedy school. But I really do plan to make this as something to make it funny one day. But I thought, you know what? Here's the funny thing. People ask me all the time, like, what are the Begats for? And I say, for phonics. Because nobody knows how they're pronounced. Nobody cares. And they can't mess up. They just keep on plodding through and they keep reading it. I laugh because I said they're also for math. I remember the day Matt came and he and Elizabeth, they came up to me and they said that they had been working on something in their free time. It's so hilarious. This is so funny. They had been working on things in their free time, and what it was, they had gone back and added up all the years for the Begats. Like, they spent hours doing this. And they said, this was when the world was created, Mom. That timeline on the wall is right. I just started laughing. It was just too good. Okay, you guys, so there's two classes you can use this for. But it's more than that. It's history. It is the story of the world. It is the main thing. It's why we are here. It's purpose. It's meaning. This stuff that's going on in this post-postmodern generation that we are now facing, where they believe that there is no truth, there is no God, there is no identity as a person, that there is no purpose or meaning. Well, hello, what happened? This was kicked out of the classroom. Today, I beg you, if I can beg, I don't think I have to, but I ask you to just get back to the main thing. The main thing is the Word. So what is your plan for making this part of your day? You realize if you just read 3 chapters a day, you're going to read through the whole Bible in a year. And you may say, but we get kind of bored with that. Well, why not look at the 1-year Bible? The 1-year Bible, if you even got half of that done, it'd be 2 years. So what? So what if it's 2 years? But the 1-year Bible, it splits it up between the old, the new, and the Psalms and the Proverbs. It's a very delightful set reading for the day. One thing you could do, you could even put it playing in the background, like use something like YouVersion's app and have it play in the background so your kids are listening to the Word first thing in the morning during their lessons. They could listen to that while they copy their lessons. But get the Word into your home. The fun thing is, I found that when I bought like a large print Bible for my children to read from, the fun part about that is it was a great reader for them to read aloud in the evening. So somehow here, I just ask you to get back to the main thing. This was the textbook. For many years, we've gotten away from it. And in turn, look at the numbers. Look at the numbers. Just look at the numbers. So, what's your plan for daily Bible reading? What about Bible study? Yeah, it's different from Bible reading. Many times people don't read in the Bible because they don't have a plan for Bible study, and they feel like, oh my goodness, I had a plan for reading, and now I'm having a struggle with getting Bible study into the home. I don't have the time for all this, Cindy. Okay. First of all, you don't have any better time than the time you spend in the Word. And I can tell you that if you do that, I promise you, when you seek first God and his righteousness, then all these other things are going to be added to you. We did not spend that much time, but the time we spent made sense of everything else we studied. Everything else. When I think of the classes I've taken, like I'm in working on my master's right now, and the classes I took, and especially in undergrad, much of that had a whole different meaning for me than it would have had for the person that was in the class that did not have the discipline of reading through the Bible every year. There have been, like right now, I'm doing 90 days through the Bible because I want an accelerated pace. And it is so awesome. I'm actually not reading it. I'm listening to it. So that maybe that helps you guys. But here's what my purpose of this is. I'm listening to YouVersion's 90 days through the Bible. And one of the things that I love about listening through it is it's like literally total immersion. It's about an hour. And of course, you can set it on YouVersion to read through a little faster. But I have been getting like this whole of stories just being flooded into me. If you've got an hour that your kids are working on stuff, you could put that easily in the background in your home. Have that playing. You know, I say the same thing about music, like having worship music or like Mozart or great composers that you're listening to, making it so natural that it could be playing in the background of your home. I can tell you that at times where I've had Mozart playing in the background, it's like the things I studied made a lot more sense. And there are theories as to like his music helping you to be more attentive and pay attention better. It so works, I'm telling you guys. But here's what I'm asking you. How much time are you going to do for Bible study? If you need help, there's so many great resources. You're not by yourself. I know that during the summer, when we do Sermon on the Mount, it is definitely going to be multi-age. I believe in teaching multi-generational. Bring your kids. Plan to join me. I'm going to unpack it pretty heavy. If you have no idea how to teach anything about the Bible, I have a Daniel study guide that was the first chapters, their character studies in the book of Daniel that I wrote years and years and years ago. I plan on having some more things in the future. We'll just see. I've got so many plans, you would not believe. But definitely, Daniel's a great study. And then, you know, even different vendors. Like I remember when the kids were growing up, I loved Greenleaf Press. Their Old Testament guide is so important. It was written to be kind of like the historical, but they actually looked at just each day they would have a little bit of reading and then they would have the discussion. And it was like Charlotte Mason's Old Paths, like narration and being able to share back. What is it that you got the most out of this passage? We would read the passage. I'd say, Matt, what is it you took away from it? Then I'd say, Elizabeth, what is it you took from tonight's reading? Do you know what? They never had the same thing. They weren't copycats like you get in Sunday school that nobody has a mind of their own. Nope. They had totally different things. And then they would get to discussing things. That's where that's where it happened. And so let me ask you, what's your plan for Bible study? It doesn't even have to be hard. You could be reading through the Bible and then you could go, okay, we just read through today. Tell me what you got. Listen, they don't have to have the right answer. Okay, come on. If it's wrong in a home, your kids will set each other straight. You don't even have to have a guide. You don't even have to have a way that you're able to know the right answer. Let me tell you, in a family, everybody will set everybody straight. Are y'all with me on that one? But what's your plan? What about Bible memory? Oh. If there is one thing that I believe is so vital for your home and your homeschool, it is getting the word in their hearts. Come on, when they're little, I will never forget. I didn't get this because I wasn't real great at Bible memory. I come through school really and truly having kind of being burnt out. I hated whenever they would ask me, like, and I still have an issue with it. I can't believe I'm getting my master's now because I still have this certain rebellion that's deep inside my heart. When you try to tell me the questions I should be asking from what I'm reading, because usually I'm getting something totally different, which it's okay. I get the discipline of it and I can jump through hoops just like the next one. I'm right now sitting on a 98 and we're going into finals week in my class in my master's program. I've got literally a 4.0. Last class made 100. Okay, you guys, I can jump through hoops. However, there's something precious about being in the homeschool where you can say, okay, I just read this aloud. What did you get from it? What is this saying to you today? What is the Lord speaking to your heart today? That's priceless. That's the stuff that truly cannot be taken away. Now, I do believe in teaching your children to write on assignments, but that's way when they're older. Like, I would say the last couple of years of high school or last 4 years of when they're in the high school years, we want them to have some assigned reading where they have to dig. And I'm talking about dig like they're in preparation for college so that they have to dig out answers that they may not be able to get at the surface. You have to be right there with them, giving them some of those assignments because that's so important in preparation for college or life or being a parent, a homeschool parent, maybe when they homeschool their kids. But what I'm saying is there is something precious about letting them dig in, letting them talk about things, and then saying, would you like to memorize something out of this passage? Which verse would stick out to you the most? And our first experiences with Bible memory in particular, I'll never forget it because God taught me how important it was. I was not good at remembering scripture because I had that thing of going, eh, about school. But here's what happened. I did, in obedience, I decided we were going to start memorizing scripture. So the very first thing that I thought would be a valuable verse to memorize was John 3:16, right? Matt was like right at 5 years old. He had not even started his kindergarten years. And that for like one day I give him John 3:16. He starts working on it for the next day. And that next night as I'm tucking him into bed, he starts to say the passage. He says, "For God so loved the world." And he looks at me with big alligator tears in his eyes. And he says, "Does that mean me, Mom?" I said, "It so means you. Yes." And he said that he gave his only begotten son, that if I believe in him, I can be saved. I said, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Harold, get in here now. This is more than just tucking the kid in bed. Get in here now." You guys, Matt then says, "How can I be saved?" And I got the privilege of leading my son to Christ. There's nothing more precious, nothing more precious. You can give me all the riches in the world, but that is the greatest rich. That is the best of all the treasures I've ever had in my life. Got to also lead Elizabeth to the Lord. But here's the deal. We decided at that time to plant the word into their hearts because it had power. It had exactly the power that it says of teaching, correcting, of rebuking, of delivering, of giving us hope, giving us vision. It has all of that ability, but it's got to be hidden in our hearts. So I want to challenge you to if you just learn one verse a week, or if it's, I think your kids will shock you how much they can sock away in their hearts. And the things that they can remember, because they have an ability to memorize so well. This is that season that we want for our children to be challenged. And all the junk out there is not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about memorizing so they can pass a test. You can think, I'm good with people who think different than me. However, I want to challenge you to just think bigger. Because that's the stuff that wore me out. That's the stuff that made me think, I don't like this. And I shut down. I didn't have any interest in memorizing that. In fact, I kind of laugh. The things I've memorized for school, I don't really even know the topics as well. The classes that I've really had some major takeaways, and I'm talking about I could quote almost this much of a chapter. Those classes, what are they? They're the ones I got to fill out. When I think about like last term, for example, not this term, but last term, the class I was in, that was one of my favorite classes that I've ever had. But interesting, let me back up just a minute. Probably Barbara Castle may be in some of these sessions, and she was one of my teachers at ORU. And in her class, what I quoted a minute ago, there's no God, there's no truth, there's no identity, there's no purpose. That came from a class that I learned from her. That's how I know that postmodernism, that's what they believe. It hit me, it sunk in, there's something about it that made sense. It showed me why I was struggling to communicate with people who thought with a different worldview. Good deal, I'm good with that. I got it, because she set the atmosphere for me to learn it and learn it well to where it's mine even today. But that, like last term, there was a quote that literally got in me and started a fire inside of my soul. And it was talking about, will you get close enough to the flame, Holy Spirit, that he can catch you on fire and that you'll actually become the fire yourself? Whew! It is still in me, deep, deep, deep. Can I challenge you to train your children to where what they are learning gets inside of them, that they're not just jumping through the hoops to pass a test, that they are definitely pulled aside, making this their own? Because again, it's like what I was telling you earlier. Guess what? I didn't read the book that Matt quotes all the time with Stonewall. I didn't read that. When I first read his copy work, I was blown away. If you were to read it, it was this much of a page. It was huge, almost like 3/4 of a page, the whole quote was. And Matt chose that. He could have chose a shorter passage. He could have chose anything he wanted that day. But that passage didn't just happen for copy work that day, but it happens to even be a principle of his life today. This is the stuff we're talking about that's living. So can I ask you again, what is your Bible memory goal? What is your prayer goal? Oh, let me camp a minute. Hey, are you saying, but what about writing? What about math? Hold on tight. Hold on tight. We're almost there. This is the stuff that makes a difference. I want to tell you a little story. I remember one day we were reading some history with Elizabeth. And at that time, I'd had numerous losses. I was trying to get pregnant, and I just kept having miscarriages. It ends up the story was 7 that I knew of, and I suspect there were more that just didn't get far enough along that I knew I was pregnant at the time. Because there was a lot of times that she was like this walking test going, I know you're going to have a baby. I know you're going to have a baby. It meant so much to her. And so we were having a lesson one day, and this is very personal, you guys. She looks at me, and the lesson was about Christopher Columbus. That he was very discouraged at one point because he knew from reading the scriptures that the earth was round, not flat, that you wouldn't sail off and fall off. And one of the things he wanted to do was to go and prove this. And so he was looking for sponsorships to have a boat and to have the funding that was needed to go and sail and explore. There was a lot of exploration at this time, some for really noble reasons, some for not so noble reasons. But Christopher Columbus had a noble reason. As we read through this, and the way that the author captured some of the words of Christopher Columbus was pretty amazing. He was using some original journals of his, and it was talking about how disappointed he was because it felt like he was just having to wait. He was having to wait, and he was wondering if God was really in this, if God was really about this. And Elizabeth pipes up. She's like 5, 6 years old, and she says, well, I sure know how that feels. And I'm going, what? If there's something you want, you just ask your mama. Your mama can help you with that. You know what I mean? I'm going to make sure you believe in God. I love you that much. I'll help you out. Oh, no. What she wanted was a baby brother or sister, and I had no way I could help her with that. And that's how life is. There's just a limit of where we can help our kids, isn't there? You're probably going, I can't believe you just said that you would do that to your kids. Haven't you? Haven't you? How many times have you tried to help God out? I help them. I even have tried to help my spouse before. What you kidding? I am a great, almost great Holy Spirit. I'm just kidding. It's a bad joke. That's some of that stuff for comedy school one day. Okay. So, but seriously, I'm sitting there and I'm going, Lord, what do I say to this? Because homeschooling did that. It had that capability of, you know your kids so well, they know you so well, that there's something there that you get down to the nitty gritty, the stuff that, I mean, I am never, you just can't catch me in ministry with usually having not an answer that I haven't dug in with the kids or with ministry or something, but mostly the kids. She asked the hard question. And I just sat there and I said, Elizabeth, I am so sorry. I'm believing God in this area as well. And it seems like it's taken forever. I said, but you know what? I think God wants us to do. And the Lord gave me an answer. Thank goodness. I said, I think he wants for us to write down when we pray for something and it happens, because his answers are not always yes immediately. They're also not always no. Just because it's a no today does not mean it's a no forever. And I said, but what I do know is we can know that God is a God who answers our prayers. He cares about every little thing. And so what I want for us to do is start a journal where we list everything that God does, that he answers our prayers. I want for us to talk about it every single day. And we're going to look and we're going to make a list of everything he does. That was powerful. So can I ask you, what's your plan for prayer? How will you actually make sure you're capturing that? Because I believe that these are the things that our children should have, prayer journals that are full of what God has done in their lives. That's a gift and a treasure. They will eventually hit what they call the dark night of the soul, where they're going to need preparation. And it may be at your knee, like Elizabeth happened to be at my knee that day when she hit a dark night, or she didn't know the answer, and boy, the answer was a tough one for me as well. Or it may be that it's out there when they hit college. I pray it's while they're at your knee. So what is your plan for prayer? What about your prayer, your plan for church sermons? I'm just asking you, you can go back through this in the guide this week. How you worship God. How you, let's move into some other things beyond discipleship. How you will make memories this month. To me, one of the greatest memory makers that I still go back to, I just came in here and Whitney was doing it in the other room, is read alouds, family read alouds. Being able to read stories together. My kids still, if you were to ask my kids as grown adults, 30 and 33, if you were to ask them today, like, about Winnie the Pooh, more than likely they would start talking in the voices, because it's one of our funniest memories of trying to read with those different voices, and it was so much fun. Same thing with other things that we read. So make some memories over great books, over games. You know, I still say games are one of the best ways if you've got a child that's struggling, like with some concept in math, or they're struggling in some concept and whatever, they can play some games. Like Scrabble is awesome for the spelling struggles they have. But play some games that help them to, first of all, make sweet memories, but then also to learn what you're wanting them to learn. You know what? They say that the one thing that will shut down learning is stress. So if we're thinking about stress, making sweet memories is just the opposite. It's just the opposite. It's daring to, and I believe this takes coming to the Lord, just like I was mentioning in that passage from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It's coming to him and letting him be the one who's teaching us, and going his way. His good old way happens to be making sweet memories. If you look at scripture, this is one of the things I keep trying to teach this in Bible study and in church. But one of the things that we see in scripture is we see that God, he constantly commanded us to be about celebrating. the feast. They go from one to the next to the next. I just did something yesterday that I am so excited about, but it was adding the Hebrew calendar to my phone. Huh, it's so powerful. I've got this book that I'm so excited about. It's called The Appointed Times. This would be a great study for some of you to do with your kids. It's by Christine Vales. She's got some videos online that this is some good stuff. I think part of the reason that people are so stressed right now is because they don't know the times and the seasons. And they get all they go and listen to this person's bad report, this one's crazy report, on and on. And I just believe that God wants for us to know these things. These are things that if we were in the Bible, if we were studying and celebrating the feast, we would have this down. So make some sweet memories. It's a biblical concept. It is a way we teach our children, because you know what? Those are the fun memories. Those are the ways that they learn so very much. So have some time to make memories. What are some things that can draw you closer together this month? What is your daily plan to powwow with your spouse? What is your daily plan for spending some time with each of your children? Come on, every single day, have these ways that you are building home, you're building family. You may say, but how's that homeschooling? That is all homeschooling. That is all homeschooling. Maybe you're going to sit down and play a game with that little one. Maybe you're going to sit down and read a different storybook. Like, I remember when Matt was so into Civil War, some of the things were not the things, like in the afternoons, it was not all about my assignments. There were many times he wanted to sit down, he wanted to read something extra. I laughed because he'd say, how can I study some more of this? I'd say, you get your schoolwork done. And then he would just study more. I'm telling you, it just cracks me up. But how will you spend some time with each of those children, really learning alongside of them, really making memories? Those memories are going to forge the information that you want them to learn, but it's stuff they will never get away from. It will never, ever get away from it. Now, I'm trying to look at my time. Okay. I want to cover just a couple more things, and then I want to, you're going to get a lot of this in the planner, and I should be sending it out tonight, posting it online. But the first thing I want to ask you to do is to think through this year. Think through this year. When we're talking about getting organized, I want to ask you, what's going on in your life right now? Your husband's job, the family changes, the new experiences, the vacations, the trips, the extracurricular involvements. What does this year look like? And then there is a page where you can do some yearly planning for each of the months. Jot down the things that you want to study, the things that you are planning to do. If you're going on vacation, I had a friend that she was going, their vacation was going to be doing a trip along the Oregon Trail. So it's important to know where that's coming, because for everybody to really enjoy it the most and to get the most out of it, it means starting a month, 2 months, maybe 3 months ahead, studying and reading the lives of different people, the story of the trail, getting in your head the whole of the events, and then getting a plan for how you're going to solidify it through the different things that are going on with the family, like the different things you go see and do. Powerful. I was thinking about when we went to Italy, for example, I didn't do a lot of prep. I didn't even know that Italy had castles. And so I got there, and I'm thankful that people told me that there were castles. I'd always wanted to see a real life castle myself. My kids, of course, were grown. My daughter had just gotten married. But this is just a great example of, I didn't prep ahead of time. I had no idea. Prepping helps you make the most of everything that you're studying or you're experiencing. So if there is a family vacation, say it's going to the ocean. Those that are coming down here ought to already be studying ocean life. They ought to be studying the moon and the tidal waves and the tides. And they ought to be studying, maybe, hopefully they won't have to know anything about a hurricane, but hey, why not? Study hurricanes versus typhoons. There's all kinds of things that could be studied based around the trips, the vacations. I still have such fun memories. When the kids were little, we got to travel a lot with my husband's work. And it happened to be that right after, we had just been doing a unit study on different musical instruments, and studied a little bit about jazz bands. Well, when I saw for sure that we were going to be going to Memphis, then to New Orleans, we definitely did a little deeper into jazz bands. And it was such a perfect way for us to get to go and to see live music that was jazz music. Totally brought everything in, and they will never forget that the rest of their life. There's all kinds of things you can do like that that are real, that are living, that are right there wrapped around your life, your family, and your year. So take some time to really think through your plans, what you have coming up. That is going to help you so much with getting everything off to a good start coming into the new school year. Another thing, if you were looking at strategizing, I recommend something that I mentioned a little last week, but I want to dig a little deeper, because when you're getting your strategy for your homeschool, I believe there needs to be some time where you pull aside and you get some time with the Lord to really plan out why you're doing what you're doing, what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and what this looks like. If you don't get a vision, remember the scripture in Proverbs 22:6? Proverbs, look it up. Without a vision, the people perish. That means that, get this, that word perish does not mean you're just going to kick over and die without the vision. No, instead, it's like you die to some things, like you die to this dream to homeschool. You burn up is another definition of perish. Burn up, burn out. You wear out. Okay, this is perishing, perishing. My sweet friends, I just want to challenge you to get along with God so he can give you the who, what, why, where, when, and hows. Okay, so what does this mean? Like, have you thought through that God may have a plan for your homeschool? He has a plan for your homeschool. Have you thought about that? Have you asked him, God, what is your plan? Why are you calling me into homeschooling? Why is it that we're doing it? If it's a reaction because of COVID, I'm just going to ask you, you're going to need some more time, or you're not going to stick with it. Because when schools are alive and well again, you're going to be back up in the school going, take these kids away. School, not Calgon, take these kids away. And when I say that, I say it very lovingly, but very much that's the truth. I've seen it. Does God have a plan? Because people have asked me all along, like, why did you homeschool? Well, you have to know, I believe in education. I'm getting mine right now. One of the things I hope to do alongside of all, I do a lot of different streams, a lot of different things. So don't ever be surprised when you hear that I do something. You go, well, where does that fit in? Well, it just does, because that's how I do things. And you will one day see, one of my personal goals is I would love to teach college age, because I feel like that there's something about that season, and it'll make sense when I tell you this, there's something about that season that really solidifies their calling, and I'm all about coming alongside and helping people step into their calling, whatever that looks like, okay? So that makes sense with who I am and my vision for my calling, who I am, what I'm called to do, what I'm called to teach. So take this as I'm right now getting my master's, and I don't know that I'm going to stop at master's. I've got a year to decide. Am I going to go ahead and torture myself on through my doctorate? Probably is where I'm leaning right now. I'm most likely will. It just depends. But here's the thing. I love education. I was that kid who was in Who's Who among American high school students. I'm also the girl who has been among Who's Who for college. I just got entered into an honor society for college with my master's degree. And that's because I've been sitting on a 4.0. I love education. So don't think, oh, she's some ignorant person. That's what people used to think when I had 1 year of college and I was helping my husband get through his education. And it's just the most preposterous thing I could ever hear, because you'd have to know me to know how I love learning, to know that I'm committed to education. But I believe God had a plan for my children. And I believe that when I began homeschooling, He called me into homeschooling. He, as a result, had a plan for my homeschool. And I don't know that it's as easy for someone if they don't step into the plan God has for them and for their homeschool. I think that it's a lot more work. And it's not that you can't do that work. Many of you are just pure amazing. I know homeschool moms that definitely can step in and they can definitely do amazing things. But what I'm saying is, hey, what's God got to say about your homeschool right now? Because I believe He does have something amazing to say about homeschooling for you. Describe what the vision that He's given you for your home, your homeschool. What are you leaning toward? What is your philosophy of education? Like, how do you think children learn best? You need to get this out of the way before you buy the very first book. How do children learn best? What have you seen? Let me say this. How do you see that it doesn't work? Because there's a lot of that in this world too. What works? What doesn't work? What are you knowing that you know from your philosophy of education? What are some ways that you can set up your day to ensure that your children learn their very best? What is it? How do you set up your day? How do you set up your home so that there is truly education happening in your home, in your family? What are some methods that seemed to work for very well last year? What worked very well last year, even in the past? What are some things that worked well for you? Most of what you hear me talk about, you're going to hear the things that worked well. I am not scared to tell you guys the things that did not work real well. You've heard those stories too. I messed up constantly. But can I tell you, I learned and I was able to fail forward and to say, you know what, I bombed on this. This is not something we're going to do again. We're going to keep on moving. Because I remember when we tried to do workbooks, oh dear heavens, it was a nightmare. When we started doing copy work, it was like night and day. Everything changed. Everything shifted. All the tears dried up. All of a sudden, I had enthusiastic learners. Okay, so what's worked? What has not worked? What are some of the methods that seem to work well for you and your family? Were you able to use the methods that you like best? Why or why not? Are y'all with me on it? Were you able to use the method? What are some methods and techniques or some different ideas you want to try this year to encourage your little ones? How will you put these ideas into a program for this year? What does it look like for you? Is that good? I asked you last week, and let's look at this for a moment. Let's think about your day. Like, if you were to describe, like, what you would go at the end of the day, this felt good. This was a nice day. This was a perfect day. What does that look like for you? What can you implement more of so that every day is like the day you want for it to be? What are some things that you can implement that can make sure you get around to the things that really matter? And then let's look long term. What's your family's vision? Like, who are you? Now, like, when this whole life thing, this whole homeschool thing is over, what do you want to look back and you want your family life to be remembered for? What is it that my day happened, and in fact, I have a book coming that is very personal. Jude, this might be a good topic in Houston. It's very, very personal. There is no easy way. There was that place where there was no easy way. It was when I bridged the gap between homeschooling all these years. It had become pretty much my identity, even almost. And as I stepped into this new space of being a empty nester, and there were no more homeschool days for my children, or so I thought, but there were no more like classroom days like we had once upon a time. Everything shifted. Everything changed. Both of them went to, you know, different ways. Elizabeth went into the corporate world for a while. She's now in the military. Matthew went, he worked in family businesses and then went into the military. And I'll never forget that first night. Matt was, of course, the first one out of the home. And I'll never forget that night when I couldn't make a phone call to see, are you okay? Do you know how to do this or that? There were some things I really wanted to know that he knew that night. Can I ask you, what is it you would want your kids to have? What vision do you have of what it's going to look like then? What do you want? What will matter when all of this is over and done with? When everything is past and these days are over, what do you want to see? Again, I come back to some relationship things. Do you know? I want for my children to hear and know God. I want for my children to have a close relationship with me and their father. I want for my children to be close to each other. I want them to have great relationships with their spouses and their children. I want for them to have good friends who are godly friends who can help them along the way where I can't help. I want for them to have good relationships in their jobs or in their callings. I want for them to have good relationships with learning, to where learning is not just something they cut off whenever they got their diploma, and it's not, by the way, but that it is a lifelong pursuit, a lifelong pursuit. I laugh because just a couple days ago, Matt turned on some things he was learning and wanted me to learn it, and I just laughed because I thought, this is so homeschooling. I never get past this. We never stop. That's the good news. It just changes and shifts. So what is your long-term vision? What does it look like? What do you want included in your days so that every day really matters when you look back? How can you work your schedule and your life around so that the most important things are truly done with your family? You know, of all the things I could teach, I just have to tell you guys that, you know, at the end of the journey, the thing that's really going to matter at the very end of the journey is all about relationships. When Charlotte Mason said education is a science of relationships, a science of relations, she was onto something huge, something eternal, something biblical. And at the end of it all, what we do today is either supporting those relationships or it is distracting. And it is marring, is destroying, is vying against. And so be very aware. Yes, you can. When you seek these things first, when you seek God and His righteousness, His way is a relationship way. It is a community. It is a family way. It is a home and family way. And then it goes out from there. You bring people into your homes. That is His plan. And if we can get back to what's really, truly the most important things and dare to say, you know what? It's great that there's opportunities, but if those opportunities don't go lining up with our goals, then we just let them go by. It's not the thing we're gonna go for. It's not the thing we're going to get distracted by. We're going to stick to the main thing, the good old way. It will work. So, I want to pray for you guys. I'm going to open up the mic. I think we've got some great wisdom in the room. If you want to join us in the room, come and join us at cindyrushton.com/Zoom. We're going to make this last little bit quick. I'm sorry I went over, but I'm not sorry because I think that these are so important. These are details that are so important. If I could tell you what I believe from the bottom of my heart makes a difference for your home and your homeschool, this is it. This is it. This is what I would leave the world with. This is the stuff that really matters. When all is said and done, all is said and done, you want your children having that relationship with each of you, but you also want them having that relationship with their learning that is such that they want to remember, that they remember fondly, that is sweet memories, that is stuff that gives them strength and hope in the middle of very difficult things they may have to do in their life. These are the things that really matter. So let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today, and I thank you for this time. I thank you for the sweet memories of years and years of homeschooling. I thank you that as I come before these sweet friends, I come after looking back, and I now know 2020, what I would do and what I would not do. And Lord, I just thank you that I would do this again. I would do this again. These are the treasures that can never be taken away. They never can be taken away. They're the moments. They're the moments that matter. They are those magnified moments that, oh Lord, you just let us have them as we serve you. Lord, thank you. Thank you. This is a gift you give mothers and fathers. And Lord, I just pray that you strengthen homes, Lord. I pray you help moms as they plan for the next school year, that they will be able to hear you as never before, that they will trust you with the education of their child, that, Lord, they will press in until they hear your plans that you have for them, and that they will just dare to do it. Lord, if it's scary, I ask you, Lord, to just give them a peace. Give them a vision. Give them your strategies, even while they sleep, Lord. I just thank you because you are so in this. You are with us, God. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You don't say, oops, that's third grade. It's on you. You don't say, oops, that's high school. Let's see what you can do with that. No, you are there. You are with us. And I praise you. I lift you on high. I magnify you. Oh, you make it easy, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, hop in. What are your thoughts? You are quiet. Okay, what we're going to do tonight, I am going to be a guest on a Zoom, and we're talking homeschooling. So if any of you want to be a part of that, I've got the information right on my Facebook that you can join us tonight by on Facebook, and I'm looking forward to that. Also, we have tomorrow afternoon, we have a session with Miss Lucia Claiborne. Oh, God is drawn to movement. She's going to rock the room tomorrow. So you'll definitely want to bring some friends and tune in. And then Thursday, we have our Ultimate Productivity Challenge where we're going to talk business and ministry again. So I look forward to seeing you guys at each of these things. I hope that your day today is full of lots of sweet memories with your family, and I look forward to seeing you in the very next session. Thanks, and see you then. Bye.